Hey everybody, it's Tori Johnson, and I'm so thrilled that you dialed in to our 20-minute teleclass today. This, as you perhaps know, is part of a series of calls in connection with the Spark and Hustle Small Business Boot Camps that are produced in partnership with the Conferences for Women in Pennsylvania, Texas, and Massachusetts. Our Philly event a couple weeks ago was a terrific success, and next week we're going to be in Houston on Wednesday, November 16th, and then in Boston on December 7th. These are day-long events specifically for small business owners, and they precede the day-long conferences for women in each location. So we hope that you will join us in one of those places. One of the sponsors of these small business events is SurePayroll, which, as you may or may not know, is the number one online payroll company. It provides simple, convenient, and accurate services to small business owners ranging in size from 1 to 100 employees. In fact, my company has used the service for 2 years. But for today's call, we're not going to talk about payroll services. We are focusing instead on lessons for small business success. So from Harvard MBA to sales at IBM to being on the partner track at the highly competitive consulting firm McKinsey to leading SurePayroll today, its president Michael Alter is one of the best people to offer his ideas, advice, and insights to all of us for the next 20 minutes. So let's dive in. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Tori. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So the first thing that I want to talk about is something that you've shared a lot with our audience, and that is fear. Fear in the workplace has the power to really paralyze all of us, whether it is as an employee or as an entrepreneur. And so I'm curious to know, why are we so consumed with fear, and what's the downside to always being afraid to take chances?
Well, let me start with the second part of that, which is I think the people being afraid to make mistakes is really one of the biggest challenges in the workplace. And so I think the downside of being afraid to make mistakes is we don't try new things, and therefore we don't innovate enough in our businesses, and we get lapped by the competition when we do that. And so, you know, I think one of the things that's true to me, you know, just in raising kids or in anything else, is that people make mistakes as they learn. That's how they learn, right? None of our kids walked the first time they got out of the crib, right? They fell, they hit their head, they tripped a little bit, and then eventually they learn to walk. And in business, why should we assume in everything we try we're going to be 100% successful? You know, we pay athletes tens of millions of dollars in baseball when they only get on base 3 in 10 times. That's a great baseball player. That means that 7 in 10 times they got out. And yet, we think that they're great with a 30% success rate. In business, the same thing. You have to be willing to take risks to try things, so that's how you learn. Where it gets to be a challenge is if you keep making the same mistakes over and over again, or you don't ask enough questions about what is it I learned from that mistake.
And I know at SurePayroll you do something very deliberate to encourage employees to take risks and not worry too much about making mistakes as long as they're making those same mistakes once.
Right, new mistakes we call it. And we actually have an annual award that we call the Best New Mistake. And it's self-nominated. The winner gets $400. The runner-up gets $200. And we read them out to the whole company. And we have a whole culture around it's okay to make a new mistake as long as we can talk about what we learned from it, and it's not an old mistake, and there's a big difference.
Can you share one of those with us? Tell us about one of those winners and what was learned from that experience.
Well, I think there's a bunch of them. One is sort of a funny one, but when we were a smaller company and we were working to do some testing as we're rolling out new systems, we had one of our product folks who was testing Social Security information into our system, and she was relatively new to the company, and so she was testing it in the live system, if you will. We would add an employee in a test company, but it was in the live system. And so what ended up happening is about 2 months after we tested some new functionality, she got a phone call from the Social Security Administration, from an auditor at the Social Security Administration, asking, "Are you Miss Kate Vick? And do you think it's funny to have Social Security number 11122233 in the system entered?" And he went on to read all of her test companies and all of the fake information that she had entered. And it had gotten all the way through to the Social Security Administration, and they were looking for taxes for this person, and they thought it was a dummy company. And so what we realized and what her suggestion was, again, this when we were a much smaller company, is that we needed to have a totally different system for testing because our production system was linked to other things outside of our business, paying of taxes, an example, and we didn't think about it from that way. And so we reconfigured how we did testing in our organization around that to come up with a whole set of testing machines that we use before it ever goes to the public consumption, if you will. But it was a great lesson for us.
Yeah, watch your testing protocol in this case. I know that you joke that Sure Payroll is an overnight success more than 10 years in the making. And I think that too many people want to pursue the quickest path to riches. We want overnight success, instant gratification. And when we can't have exactly what we want immediately, we're tempted to sort of abandon ship. So I would love to know your advice for when to stay the course, and when to recognize perhaps that, you know, hey, this dog don't fight, my idea as it stands right now isn't really a viable business.
Mm-hmm. And that's always an interesting balance, you know, when do I give up and when do I keep playing? So, I mean, I think, you know, a couple of things. One is our society and the media and everybody has really always pushed us towards those sort of overnight huge successes. Groupon would be one, just went public last Friday. The challenge is in business, those overnight successes are so few and far between that you really can't build a business or bet that you're going to build a business on that. And so I believe that to build a real business with real revenues and real profit and real good employees, it takes time. And so the question you've got to ask yourself as you're building that time is, you know, A, is the business making milestones and moving in the direction up and to the right, if you will? And, you know, it's never a perfect straight line. There are setbacks, et cetera. But over a period of time, are we moving in the right direction? Am I getting good feedback from my customers, either because they're buying or because they're telling me they want it? I'm getting revenues from it. Am I learning in terms of what am I doing? Is the business better today than it was a year ago, 2 years ago? And if you start to see some of those signs in terms of customer growth, revenue growth, employee growth, and personal growth, I think you sort of have a sense as to whether or not it's worth playing on or not playing on. And the idea of playing on is not necessarily for everybody always tied to I'm going to have the next Groupon or the next public company. I think a lot of people that build businesses either because their avocation, what they love to do, they want to be their vocation. And so they're going to go do that and figure out how to make that successful. Or there are a lot of other people that just don't want to work for somebody, and so they want to build a nice, what I'll call a lifestyle business where they can be in control, and they can go to their kid's soccer game when they want, and they don't want to answer to a boss. And for a lot of these folks, success and overnight success, again, is not a home run public company in 3 years, but more a business that grows over time that allows them to take advantage of their avocation or their lifestyle, et cetera.
Sure. I think each of us needs to know, like, what to measure based on what matters most to us so that then we can monitor that progress as we go.
Yes.
Okay. I have learned a whole lot from hearing you talk about when to say yes and when to say no. And I know women especially can have some difficulty with this because we do want to please everybody. And it's something I think that can be even more challenging when you add in that small business owner hat. We want to say yes to every opportunity that comes our way because it may mean more revenue, more clients. We may be tempted to chase every lead and move in just a wide range of directions. But you say that is not always the best plan for your business, both short-term and long-term.
Right. And I think to me that the most strategic business that you will make, the decision you will make in your business day in and day out is when you say no to business, not when you say yes to business. And part of that is starting and growing a business, we're always balancing between I'm going to say yes to this so I can get enough cash to pay the bills and keep the lights on versus I'm going to say yes to this and it helps me pay the bills and keep the lights on, but I'm going to turn around a year or 2 years from now and I'm going to be in a different business serving a different customer set than I want to or than I think the market should. And so really understanding strategically why are you in business, who is it you're serving, and what is it you're doing, and having a real sense of direction around that helps to make those yes-no decisions. But I can think of numerous times at Sure Payroll when we had the opportunity to say yes to business that would have brought us near-term revenue, but I think would have taken our eye off the ball going forward, and therefore we would not have gotten to the end point that we wanted to.
Sure. Let's switch gears for a second and talk about marketing, marketing to the right customers. You've told us stories about sending a mass email in the very early days of SurePayroll and expecting a huge response but getting something quite differently. So I'd love for you to share that and talk to us a little bit about the lesson for everyone about really understanding the importance of marketing in a way that matters to your target market.
Okay. So there's a couple questions, but I mean that was one of my great new mistakes, and I unfortunately I can't win our best new mistake award, or I could win hands down.
You didn't get the $400 prize.
Right, they don't let me win it, but I certainly make enough new mistakes. And early on, one of the big mistakes we made, although we've managed to make it in a way that didn't blow up the business, but we assumed that we were an online company. This was back in early 2000 when online really meant sort of email marketing. And we got one of our partners, a big credit card company, to put a statement stuffer in their bills and then agree to send an email out to tens of thousands of their customers about SurePayroll. And we assumed that overnight the phones would light up. We brought in friends and family and anybody we could think of to man the phones because we knew we were going to be so crowded the next morning. and after it all dropped, I think we got 5 calls and 1 customer. And we had sort of bet our business at that point, at least this was going to be successful, and we were going to scale this up. And so we had to take a big step back and say, well, wait a minute, what's not right about this, and why is it that it wasn't a success, and what do we want to do from a marketing perspective? And what we learned is, payroll is that kind of a decision that is made when somebody is either in pain, what they're doing isn't working, or they're a new business just starting. So there's certain points within a business life cycle when somebody switches to payroll. And therefore, we had to change our marketing approach from just sort of a general blanketed approach to finding what those stages are in a business and then figuring out what messaging works, so what language, it's easy, better than simple. We had to figure out what vehicles work because email doesn't. And we had to figure out how to reach them cost effectively at those points in time. And then on a sort of a sidebar, we realized that for us, again, in understanding our customers, we have to drive awareness of our brand, because when somebody wants to make a decision to switch payroll companies or to start with a payroll company, it's a relatively quick decision, and they're going to just visit a few names that they've heard of. And if they've never heard of us, we don't get in that decision. So we had to do some awareness marketing in our segment as well as some targeted marketing at those points of pain.
And so understanding what those points of pain are for your target market is critical for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. And sort of thinking about, as Clay Christensen, who's a very well-known professor at Harvard Business School, talks about in his book, The Innovator's Dilemma and The Innovator's DNA, it's understanding what job it is that your customer is trying to accomplish with your product as opposed to what features and functions your product has.
That's right. Applicable to every business.
Absolutely.
Okay, so there are a lot of people who believe that the most important question to ask your customers is, are you happy? And while there's certainly value to that, because we want all of our customers to be happy, you are a supporter of something known as the Net Promoter Score. And it's something that every business owner can apply to her company. And I would love for you, just in a couple minutes, to give us a quick overview of what the Net Promoter Score is and how you use it today.
Okay, fair enough. And so, the interesting thing when you say, are you happy? I mean, we all want our customers to be happy, but we also want to be profitable and grow our businesses. And there was a consultant at Bain & Company who'd spent a career basically helping companies measure if their customers were happy, with the belief that that would make those businesses grow faster. And what he found at the end of his career was that there was basically no correlation between happy customers and revenue growth of a business, which was sort of hard for him to believe after a whole career made preaching this. And so he did some regression analysis against the questions that they asked. They would ask a battery of questions to understand if a customer was happy. And what he found was there was a very, very strong correlation between revenue growth of successful businesses and how they customers answered one key question, which is the question he called the ultimate question, because it is the ultimate question. It also makes for a great name of a book, which is his book, The Ultimate Question. And what the ultimate question is on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being high, 0 being low, how likely are you to refer our product and service to somebody else? And so what he did is he categorized those scores in saying anybody that gives you a 9 or a 10 is what he called a promoter. And those are the people that will tell the world how great you are. And we can all think about certain products or services that we're willing to tell the world how great they are. And then what he said is if you get a 7 or an 8, that's sort of a passive customer. They're not going to tell the world how good you are or how bad you are. They're just going to sort of go through life. And if they're asked, then they'll say something. And then he said there's those that will give you a 0 to 6. And those are the ones that are, he called, detractors that will kill you. And so if you're a consultant, you need some kind of metric. So he took all this stuff and he came up with what he calls a net promoter score, one single measure. And what it is the percentage of your customers that are promoters, give you a 9 or a 10, tell the world how great you are, minus the percentage of your customers that are detractors, or 0 to 6. And that net number is a very good determinant as to how successful you're going to be in your business in terms of growing it. And the typical U.S. company, from his metrics, has only a 5 to 10% net promoter score. So there's only about 5 or 10 points better between those that love you and those that hate you. That's pretty scary.
Pretty scary, right.
And a world-class score is anybody north of 50. And we're proud at SurePayroll that we are north of 50. But what's, I think, more interesting about it is not just that it's a metric or a measurement that you use, but it's how do you take something like this and operationalize it into your business so that it's useful, so that it's not a once a year kind of exercise, oh, we got a score, that's nice. How do you take it and operationalize it? And so one of the things that we've done at SurePayroll is that we've operationalized it in a way that helps us find our customers that aren't as happy and make them happy, and find our customers that are happy and make sure those are the ones we're asking for referrals. And so we ask the ultimate question to all of our customers after they run their first two payrolls with us, and once a quarter when they run their payroll when they finish. And if anybody gives us a negative score, we then route that out through a series of questions, make sure we have the right phone number to call them. And we have customer service reps that are incented that they have to call the customer within 24 hours of getting that score to resolve the issue. And so it gives us very good, not only sort of headlights and vision into what our customer base thinks of us, but also gives us the opportunity to correct a customer who's in harm's way before it gets too bad.
That's right. It's really about paying attention to the complaints, not solely focusing on the compliments.
Right. You learn the most from your complaints.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. Well, we could continue talking forever, but we have to leave it right there. And I want to remind everyone that you can still register for next Wednesday's Spark and Hustle Small Business Boot Camp with the Texas Conference for Women in Houston. And Michael will be there, so you can have a chance to hear more from him as well as ask him any of your small business and or payroll-related questions. Just go to txconferenceforwomen.org. The rate is $90 for one person or $150 for two people, so you can bring a partner, friend, coworker, or client for a phenomenal day. And if Boston is better for you, Michael will be there as well, so you can join us for the Small Business Boot Camp in connection with the Massachusetts Conference for Women on December 7th, and all the details there are at maconferenceforwomen.org. And if you're wondering if either of these events are for you, you can email me anytime, and I'd be happy to discuss it. It's just Tori, T-O-R-Y, at sparkandhustle.com. You can also talk to me anytime on Facebook, facebook.com/Tori. And you can connect with SurePayroll anytime on Twitter and also on Facebook. It's just at SurePayroll. Pretty simple. So thank you, Michael. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate all of your advice, and we are grateful to have SurePayroll's support, and we look forward to seeing you in both Houston next week and then in Boston next month.
Great. Thank you, Tori.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks.